Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, AFR.net on the internet. Thank you for listening. Lot to talk about on the program today. Ed Battagliano is with me. My brother Ray Pritchard is running from the law. He's been out for like 10 days or something like that. Where'd he run off to? Do you know?
He's teaching the Bible somewhere.
I've got a good one right here. I just thought about this. Brother Ray Pritchard is running from the law because he's out somewhere preaching about grace.
Oh, that's good, Tim.
I know.
That's good, Mr. President.
Isn't that good?
hold that thought until Ray gets back.
Okay, well, that's just so, wow, man.
On that note, we're going to go to a break here.
that was pretty good. But anyway, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
I say that because Ray is a Bible teacher.
Yes.
And he's somewhere in the country teaching at a...
Or maybe out of the country. He teaches overseas too.
Mm-hmm. He's teaching the scriptures somewhere to people. That's his calling, and he's wonderful at it. And we appreciate Ray. And when he can be on with us here, we look forward to it. Walker Wildman is here. Walker, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, what are we going to be doing on our Facebook page today?
Well, we're going to be Facebook live streaming, so you can go there, watch the show. And some folks are saying, I want to see y'all's faces. I can't see your faces. Maybe the camera angles aren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the coming weeks, we're going to improve our angles, our video angles. So you will be able to see our wonderful faces here soon in the coming weeks, and I know you'll be.
And then after they're able to do that, please don't go back on there and say, I really don't want to see y'all's faces anymore.
Yeah, they're going to regret it.
I'm really disappointed.
Can we go back to that wide angle shot where I just see the back of your heads?
I mean, so if they really want to see our pictures, they can just go to our website. Can't go to our website or something. I mean,
I don't think we need to spend any more time on this.
If you'd like an 8x10 black and white glossy of Ed Battagliano,
Ed will sign it.
You're out of luck.
Ed will sign it. All right, so Facebook Live for Today's Issues. We video stream there, and you can comment there. And Walker, are you going to follow the comments on the Facebook page?
I sure will. If some will provide valuable, what I view as valuable comments.
Right, you're the judge here.
I'm the judge. I'm the sole judge. I will make those thoughts known on the radio.
Here comes the judge.
Soul Judge. That'd be a great album.
Somebody's name.
For like an R&B record. They don't make records anymore. Fred Jackson is with us, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. We do have a lot of sobering, serious issues to talk about today on this program. And you want to lead us off, Fred?
Yeah, as if we didn't need another story to cover these days. Yesterday afternoon, sitting in my office about 2:30, and I see the House Intelligence Committee Chairman, Congressman Devin Nunes, come to the microphones out in front of the White House. Okay, what's going on here? Well, he announces that he had just briefed President Trump on intelligence collection involving the president and members of the transition team. What? What are we talking about here? You may remember last week the FBI director, Comey, before a hearing, saying he's investigating communications between possibly the Trump camp and the Russians during the election campaign. So it has to deal with that? No. Congressman Nunes says no. This was something separate. Apparently, he got wind, a mole or somebody in the intelligence community began to show him yesterday evidence that there was some monitoring going on. This is outside of the Russian investigation. Some monitoring going on that picked up conversations between President Trump or members of his transition team, and they were monitored. This is after the election, as part of an incidental collection, in quotation marks. And it was enough for him yesterday. He briefed Paul Ryan, and then he went over to the White House and briefed the president on this. Now, the thrust of it seems to be this, and let's listen to a clip of Congressman Nunes here as he talked to reporters outside the White House.
In order to keep you all fully updated on what's happening with this investigation, today I briefed the president on the concerns that I had about incidental collection and how it relates to President-elect Trump and his transition team and the concerns that I have. As I said earlier, there'll be more information, hopefully by Friday. The NSA is cooperating very, very well. And lastly, I'll say that the reports that I was able to see did not have anything to do with Russia or the Russia investigation or any tie to the Trump team. And with that, I'll love to take a couple questions if you have them.
Chairman, I have a quick question. Why is it appropriate for you to brief President Trump, given it's his own administration or campaign associates that are a part of this investigation?
Because what I saw has nothing to do with Russia and nothing to do with the Russia investigation. Has everything to do with possible surveillance activities, and the president needs to know that these intelligence reports are out there, and I have a duty to tell him that.
All right, so that press conference went on and on. So just to be clear again, this has nothing to do with the FBI investigation about alleged communications between the Russians and the Trump camp. This is totally separate. The indication that we got from Congressman Nunes yesterday, this is a separate FISA. This is the court that is set up to approve this kind of surveillance. Totally separate. This allegedly occurred in November, in December, and in January. Now, what's unclear at this point is the other issue, and we're kind of learning some lingo here in the intelligence community. When they pick up conversations, if it involves American citizen, they are supposed to mask that name in the reports. What's not clear at this point, whether there were names unmasked in these intelligence reports. At one point, Congressman Nunes seemed to indicate that even if they were still masked, the context of the conversation would easily lead one to believe that it involved conversations with the president-to-be, Trump, and members of the transition team. Now, why is this all important? It goes to the allegation in those tweets from President Trump back several weeks ago that he used the term wiretap, but then came out and tried to clarify he was talking about general surveillance.
Right.
So that's kind of where this story is as of this morning. Apparently, Congressman Nunes says there are other reports that he wants to go over. He wants to share it with his committee. The ranking member on that committee, Congressman Schiff of, what he represents. He came out yesterday, late afternoon yesterday. He was upset that Congressman Nunes didn't come to him and the committee first before sharing this information with President Trump and Paul Ryan. So that's where we are with this story this morning.
And my understanding is at least one of the individuals that had this information incidentally collected was Michael Flynn.
Yes.
And so this had a pretty large consequence on his life and the Trump administration early on when this was leaked. And one of the things President Trump said in response to this new information from Congressman Nunes is, listen, I want to know who incidentally collected or whatever my conversations with the president of Mexico and with the president of Australia. That, remember, within a week or two, that was all leaked.
Yeah.
But that is information that somebody collected incidentally. In other words, it was legally obtained by whoever was doing the surveillance. It was not an illegal thing, but there is a huge mess in this transition because so many people who are Obama supporters are left in the executive branch. And President Trump has not been able to get rid of them all. And they, somebody seems to be trying to sabotage his administration.
Well, and the other part of this, too, is that Congressman Nunes indicated yesterday that this particular surveillance came with the approval of this court. This was the court set up after 9/11.
FISA court. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
But somebody has to petition that court.
Right.
Who did that? Because remember, President Obama was still in power at that point.
You've got to request permission to surveil.
You've got to go to the court.
You've got to go to the court and get permission to institute some sort of surveillance on an American citizen. Yes.
Well, so the bottom line here, if you want to just get a one sentence or a soundbite from this situation, is that President Trump came out a couple, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, via tweet and accused President Obama's administration of wiretapping Trump Tower during the campaign.
Transition period. Yes.
Now, most everybody mocked President Trump at the time because he had no evidence. He didn't put forth any evidence.
Right.
It just, and that's an extremely serious accusation to make without putting forth any evidence.
Right.
In fact, when I first saw it, I went, I wouldn't say that if I were you.
Unless you have proof. Right.
Unless you have proof you want to provide.
But people are going to automatically say, where's your proof? So you don't say it until you're ready to put forth the evidence. I agree with you.
Right. So, that. I mean, that's the usual way you would handle something like that. But we're talking about a very unusual person.
Right.
President Trump. He doesn't do things in an orthodox manner all the time. And that works for him.
Right.
And that works against him. In this case, I think most people said, I wouldn't say something like that unless you have proof that you can put forth because it hurts your credibility.
Right.
But now, now President Trump has proven he was accurate, evidently. Now, whether or not President Obama, authorized this surveillance of Trump Tower, that's yet to be proven as fact. But the general idea that President-elect Trump was under surveillance or part of a dragnet or whatever you want to call it, was true, evidently, because and this is the way these Michael Flynn, the general, and these other things that keep coming out in public, which shouldn't be made public, somehow are getting released. And the so-called, I never heard the expression deep state before this all started happening, but what they're saying is what Ed's talking about here. You have Obama loyalists still in place because they haven't had time to replace them, I guess, or found out who they are. And somebody's trying to, you use the word sabotage or subvert the new administration. They're going to have to get to the bottom of this, and there needs to be some investigations on this because this, you're talking about potential criminal activity. The other thing, a side story to this, I'm a fan of Judge Andrew Napolitano of Fox News. He's a legal analyst. Almost everybody listening to us who's watched Fox News has seen the judge. A very smart guy, very, very, and not given to drama.
Right.
He's pretty good in his analysis, pretty level-headed, I guess you could say. He said he was suspended from Fox News. And I'm reading a onenewsnow.com story that we put up on this whole situation. By the way, you can read it at onenewsnow.com. But it's a story I think that Steve Jordahl did. But he says here, Steve does, that Fox News legal analyst Andrew Napolitano carried the accusations beyond what President Trump said even further last week when he claimed that Obama used Great Britain's spy agency to keep an eye on Trump and his associates. Napolitano claimed three intelligence sources told him, three, and again, this judge, been around a long time, I trust him, sources told him that Obama used the British government to hide his fingerprints. But Fox News, uneasy with such a claim, yanked the legal analyst off the air.
Fox has been, I think they've been wrong on this issue to a large extent. Fox meaning a lot of their show hosts, because they were questioning whether the FISA warrant or the FISA request even happened. Some of their show hosts were saying, well, that was one report and we don't have, you know, that's supposed to be confidential stuff. No one knows whether that FISA request actually even happened. Well, according to this representative, he is saying the FISA request did happen. And so many of Fox hosts have been wrong on that issue also by questioning whether that FISA request happened.
Well, if this proves to be true, that somebody's going to owe Judge Napolitano a big apology here.
Right.
Again, I don't know what the protocol is at a news agency like Fox.
Well,
the judge may have violated protocol, even if he's right.
Right.
In other words, you can't just make accusations. But you know, these journalists, and he's a journalist, they go on the air all the time with, according to sources I've talked to.
Yeah.
And then they say what?
And they never say who the sources
are. Typically,
that happens all the time.
I mean, typically the news agencies allow the journalists to handle their own integrity and their own public image, whether it be good or bad.
Right.
You know, if Judge Napolitano happens to be wrong, you don't have to fire the guy.
Right. They suspended him.
You can have other show hosts dispute his claim and correct him.
That did surprise me that they.
Well, here's the thing. He was suspended after the British intelligence.
Yes.
Spokespeople
okay.
said
they denied
this is
it.
Absolutely not true, okay. Which it may not be true. Okay, I'm just saying from an outsider's standpoint, it may not be true, but it might also be true that the British spy agency is embarrassed and, hey, listen, spy agencies,
and they're lying.
They lie.
Right.
That's what they do. Right,
yeah.
Right.
I'm a waiter. No, actually, I'm a Russian spy. Yeah. That's what.
Well, yeah, do. Why would a spy agency – in like Great Britain's, for example,
what would they admit?
Why do you comment one way or another
yeah.
on anything like this? You know what I'm saying? You would think that their policy should probably be we never comment on.
Are
anything.
They going to admit it? Are they? If they did it,
okay,
this,
the judge nailed us.
Yes, we're going to admit that this
you
judge,
got us.
That we're going to admit that we worked with the Obama administration to spy on the new president coming.
You know who else is in the middle of this is FBI Director Comey.
Yes,
he's in the middle of all this, and is he not doing his job? You know, he comes out and says, this is not true. There's no substance to this. Well, a representative, a well-respected one from California, is saying
well,
the opposite.
Well, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
Right.
Yeah, and his credibility is at stake. And he's seen things that I'm thinking the FBI director should probably have seen.
Yes.
Like to your point, Walker.
Yeah, Comey needs to figure out.
He's looking bad.
He needs to figure out what's going on. And I know a lot of this stuff, you can't come out publicly and say what's going on. A lot of it's confidential information. But there needs to be some clarification by top government officials, and they need to all get on the same page.
Yeah.
If not, if I were President Trump, I'd say you're fired.
He's made a career of saying that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, we're talking about this story that broke late yesterday afternoon where the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, his name is David. I'd not heard of the gentleman. He's from California. He's U.S. Representative Devin Nunes, Nunes, had a press conference at the White House in which he said he had informed President Trump that and his team that he had seen where he had come into contact with information showing that, in fact, the president and some of his team members had been monitored. By who were they monitored by? Did he go into that kind of detail?
In the intelligence community. But here's what adds to his credibility, Congressman Nunes' credibility. Just a few weeks ago, he was critical of President Trump for coming out, and he said there is no evidence that there was any surveillance going on. This is what he said a couple of weeks ago. But this new information has come about in the wake of the FBI director's testimony last week before this intelligence committee. So all of this has transpired apparently in the last 48 hours. There's a mole or somebody inside the intelligence community, and we've seen these moles seemingly working for the old Obama administration.
Right.
Now is coming out. Someone has come forward and say, Congressman Nunes, you need to see this.
Well, isn't it true that when Director Comey was addressing and was in this hearing with the Intelligence Committee, that Trey Gowdy asked him, you know, are you investigating the potential of these Russian, you know, the collusion with the Russians? Yes, we are. And then he asked him, is the FBI investigating these FISA warrant, you know, requests and the leaks? And if I'm not mistaken, Comey said, well, I can't comment on ongoing investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you just did.
Yes.
You just did comment. You said there was an investigation on the Russia leaks or on the Russia, you know, collusion. So, but now you can't tell us whether the FBI is investigating this other? To me, I'm starting to slide from looking at William Comey as being a middle-of-the-road, you know, person who just wants to do his job to someone who's doing the best job he can for his former president as a Democratic operative. So I'll admit it is a sliding scale, and Comey can push my opinion of him back towards the middle if he will investigate these leaks, or at least if they are investigating it, will tell us that he's doing it.
He's the FBI director, decided that Hillary Clinton didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Including lying apparently wasn't a problem for this FBI director.
I would qualify your comment, Mr. Jackson, in one way. He didn't exonerate her. He said, talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
I'm talking about James Comey, to be fair. Is his first name William? You call him William. Ed?
Is it not William
James Comey, isn't it?
I think it's James.
James, okay.
Jim Comey, technically.
They may call him James. You high-five him down the hall? I mean, I think he's first.
I don't know where William came from.
Anyway, Director Comey said that her level of wrongdoing did not rise to a...
To be charged,
but he didn't completely.
The reason I say that James or Jim Comey, I kind of had pegged him middle of the road is before the election. Remember, he came out and said, well, we've had new evidence. Mm-hmm. We are opening up another investigation on these emails. So I thought this guy's, he was put into place by a Democratic president, but he is an honest, I'm going to play it down the middle politically straight. Mm-hmm. He does his job.
Yeah.
That's what I thought about him for a while. Now I'm starting to go, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Bottom line is that President Trump said he was wiretapped at Trump Tower by President Obama and his team. And yesterday, I wouldn't say that President Trump scored a three-pointer, but he hit a shot right inside the line. Mm-hmm. In terms of he gave much more credibility. This new announcement gives much more credibility to his claim.
Yes.
And which will have to be followed up on. But if you're President Trump, maybe behind closed doors, you know, if you could feel like you could talk to anybody without being worried that it's being monitored about you're the if I'm the president, President Trump, I'm going, this is weird. I feel like we're being monitored by, I feel like, you know, by our own government here. And I'm the president. You know what I'm saying?
And my conversations are being leaked to the public.
You know, this is President Trump surprising us once again. How many times has something he said has been scoffed at? Remember he said a few weeks ago, there'll be other stuff coming out in a couple of weeks.
He did say that?
He said that.
Yeah.
You know, he has a way of coming out on top of these things. And we all shake our head. How does he do it? But it happens.
Yeah. Well, Walker, you got this story posted at our...
I do. And to let our listeners know who are trying to watch on Facebook, we're having technical difficulties, but we should have it fixed after the break.
Our faces finally
for
did
our
break
Facebook
the camera?
Live feed, that is. But I
our
do
faces
have the
broke the camera, you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
I knew it would happen.
We will be back after this break. With more of today, a lot more to talk about. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
We got nothing but Italians on this show.
We're changing lives one question at a time.
Trivia Friday is educational programming.
What big cat can't rule?
That's pathetic.
The mime cat. I've seen them. They got those white gloves on their paws.
You use milk to sweeten your breath.
In the first century.
What happened when the milk soured?
You got trouble.
Yeah, right that's there. A good.
See, you don't get a second date. I'll just tell you that right now.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. The carnage from London has been stomach-turning. Video and photos show broken bodies strewn about the Westminster Bridge, bystanders covered in blood, trying in vain to save a police officer. The savagery was breathtaking and all too familiar. Men and women slaughtered in the name of the religion of peace. The British are no strangers to the jihadist, nor are we. Orlando, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Boston, American cities turned into killing fields for the Islamic radicals. There is a reason why President Trump wants to secure our borders. There's a reason why he wants extreme vetting for refugees from countries infested with jihadists. Take a good look at what happened in the streets of London. That's the reason why. President Trump does not want what happened on Westminster Bridge to happen on the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, one of the reasons, one of the big reasons I think President Trump was elected, and a lot of pro-family, pro-life, pro-Christian values members have been elected to Congress and state houses and governorships over the last few years, have been the, you know, waking up the church, so to speak. Now, AFA and AFR, we played our part in that, and we also have a gentleman on the line with us whose work has gone a long way towards waking up the church and getting the Christians involved. And you want to welcome him?
Yeah. We have on a good friend of ours, a good friend of the ministry, longtime friend, David Lane, who is founder of the American Renewal Project. David, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me on.
Tell us the history of the American Renewal Project, David.
Well, we, I was housed until a year or so ago under the American Family Association, as you know. Your dad, Don, and I have been in and out teamed up for probably 30 years. And he brought me over, and I was housed under the American Family Association for, 10, 12 years. It was a real blessing to me. But the American Renewal Project really began this, what we're discussing here, the Pastors and Pews events began in 2005 in Texas with Governor Perry, Rick Perry, and we started hosting pastors' events for the pastor and their spouses, putting them up in the nicest hotel we could find, feeding them three meals, a dinner, a breakfast, and a lunch. And now we've been in 18 states and have fed 18,000 to 19,000 pastors plus spouses as our guests loved on them and never asking for a penny. And the Lord has funded his work. My pastor used to say when we lived in Baton Rouge, God's work done God's way, will never want for money.
But the idea is to bring pastors in from around the state, and you got one coming up in Virginia that we're partnering with you on. We want you to promote. But the idea, and you've done this in 18 states, you say, is to bring in many, probably a lot of people listening to us have either sent their pastor, know that a pastor who's gone to these pastors' events that you host, and you bring these the couple in, the husband and wife, pastor for a weekend, or at least for a Friday, Saturday. And as you say, put them up in a nice hotel, feed them, and then bring in wonderful speakers like Mike Huckabee and David Barton and Newt Gingrich and others to educate and motivate. And the idea is then the pastors go back to their churches and then they preach on, teach on Christians voting and getting involved and making a difference in the government, right?
It's bringing politicians are not going to save America. Hollywood is not going to save America. Wall Street is not going to save America. If America is going to be saved, it will be men and women of Issachar who know the times and know what to do. And so the purpose of this, and we say it up on the table, is trying to restore America to our Judeo-Christian heritage and reestablishing a biblically-based culture. Somebody's values are going to reign supreme. Mm-hmm. Our values, or if we stay home, the people that they put in office, the other side, who implement their values. And that's what we've done. As you know, the estimated 65 to 80 million evangelical Christians who go to church, read their Bible, have not registered to vote, half of those don't vote. So last cycle, which is 2016, last year, our goal was to try to get evangelical and pro-life Catholic Christians to engage the culture by voter registration and get up to vote. Plus, as you know, we started a project in 16. We had actually 200 pastors that ran for office for city council, county commissioner, school board. And we've got another 200 running in 17 and 18. And the purpose is bringing our values to the public square.
Yeah, the ACLU loves you. they probably sent you a holiday card back just to thank you for getting pastors to run for office.
Exactly.
So, hey, you got something coming up in Virginia. Talk about that because we got a lot of listeners in Virginia.
All right. And so our next event is actually next Thursday and Friday. Thursday lunch, Thursday dinner, Friday breakfast, and it's in Richmond. The DoubleTree by Hilton in Richmond, Virginia. And we've got right now probably 250 pastors and spouses that have already RSVP'd. And we've got our team of speakers, Bill Federer, the American Minute. Bill Federer has a quote that I love, which he says, the most important thing in the world is winning people to Christ. The second most important thing is to preserving freedom to win people to Christ. And so that's what we felt like we dodged the bullet last year, and that, President Trump needs to do what he said he was going to do, which is repeal the Johnson Amendment, instruct Congress to defund Planned Parenthood, restore local education to the local level, move the embassy to Jerusalem. The things he promised to do, we're expecting that. But it's real important that our people, evangelical Christians and pro-life Catholic Christians, bring our values to the public square. So in Virginia, next Thursday, Friday, and for people that are listening from the Virginia area, if you're not a pastor, we want you to get your pastor there as our guest. We're paying for it. And get your pastor and his wife to get away next Thursday and Friday. There's an 800 number to reserve the space, and that number is 800-921-1928. 800-921-1928. And we'll mention it one more time probably before we hang up here.
David, this is Walker here. Do you have a website that folks can go to find out more information?
AmericanRenewalProject.org. AmericanRenewalProject.org.
Okay, so you're telling me that if you live in Virginia and you're a pastor and you're not signed up for this, you're offering them to come to this pastor's event, and it's next Thursday and Friday, like in a week from today?
Yeah.
Okay, and And you're going to put them up for a night in the nice hotel and feed them. And they get to hear all these great speakers. And when is a timeshare pitch going to – when are you going to make
there's
that?
There's no timeshare pitch. I remember we were in – this was back when I was under AFA, but I think it was in 2004 or 2005. I can't remember. We were in Minnesota. And at the end of this day and a half, this pastor walked up to me because I don't put my name tag on and I don't speak at the event. But a pastor walked up to me after a day and a half in Minnesota and he said, "You're David Lane?" I said, "I am." He said, "I've been sitting here a day and a half for the pitch." I said, "Yeah." He said, there's no hook. There's no pitch." I said, "Nope."
Wow.
He said, "I'm the chaplain of the Senate. Here's my card. The next time you come to Minnesota, you call me and I'll get the pastors here."
Wow.
And so there's no hook. It's right. Virginia pastors plus spouses. We're going to pay for it. We're going to love on you. We have the finest speakers in America that you've never even heard of, most of them. But David Brody, of course, of CBN, most people have heard of it, Eastern Virginia area. But Brody will be there. Bill Fetter of American Minute. E.W. Jackson will be there, who's from Virginia. You know E.W.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good friend
Pastor
of ours.
Ken Graves.
Yeah.
My pastor from California, Rob McCoy. Rob McCoy is a Calvary Chapel pastor, where I'm an elder at Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks. And my pastor ran and he's the new city councilman, the newest city councilman from the Thousand Oaks area. So there'll be a spot in this day and a half where we call the Issachar training, and there'll probably be, I don't know, maybe 100 pastors from Virginia show up. Is God calling me, kicking the tires? Is God calling me to run for office?
Yeah.
So they'll be, we're real active in the process.
All right, give us a number again. And this is only for pastors in Virginia now and their wives.
And their spouses.
Go ahead.
And the number, 800 number is 800-921-1928.
All right, and what's the next state you're going to? You got that figured out yet?
Well, as you know, there's two states in 17, which are Virginia and Louisiana, that have state races. And then next year, 2018, there's 33 Senate seats up, 23 Democrats plus two independents, and there's 8 Republicans up to reelect. And so we're going to be real active in probably 10 or 12 of those states in 2018. This year, we're working Virginia and Louisiana. We don't have the next pastors event set up yet.
All right, David, listen, thank you, brother. Appreciate your partnership. We look forward to helping do our part to get these pastors there, and God bless you.
Thank you for doing that, Tim and Walker. Lord bless you.
Bye. All right. David Lane joining us, American Renewal Project. He's been doing a wonderful job for many years engaging pastors, and we appreciate our partnership with him. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can... By the way, we ever get our Facebook Live figured out?
Yes, our Facebook Live is up and running.
Okay. And then you can also listen to American Family Radio on your app, on your phone or your iPad or similar device. Just download the app. Takes you 60 seconds or less to download it. And then you can just click and listen to AFR on your phone or your iPad or something.
You listen on your computer.
Or your computer. AFR.net. You can also listen there, AFR.net. So take advantage of that. We have thousands of people who listen to AFR on the app. You can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page as well to comment on the show. We have Fred Jackson is still with us. Fred, back to the news of the day. What else is happening?
Well, the clock is ticking. Right now, we're still scheduled to see a vote in the House tonight on the American Health Care Act. If you've been around a news source at all over the last couple of weeks, you know that there is division inside the Republican Party. There is the so-called Freedom Caucus. And what they're advocating
is... They're not so-called. They are.
They are called.
They are called the Freedom Caucus.
The Freedom Caucus. And what they want is a standalone vote on repealing Obamacare, and then they want some revised version of what the House is calling the American Health Care Act. In the middle of all of this is President Trump, the deal maker. And as we are sitting here this morning in the studio, he has invited some members of the Freedom Caucus over to the White House this morning to try to, well, he wouldn't probably call it twist arms.
Persuade.
Sit down. Let's talk about this. And, of course, he is hoping. Now, what I heard just before coming in the studio, Some members of the Freedom Caucus were being interviewed this morning. They said that President Trump is doing a great job. He's trying to bring about a compromise between Paul Ryan and the gang, the advocates for the American Health Care Act, and Freedom Caucus members, try to bring about a compromise so that this vote can go forward tonight. We'll see how successful he is, but we should know that in the next few hours. But at least here's what a few of these members of the Freedom Caucus were saying this morning. And I'm not sure they used the term tentative deal, but some things have to be clarified still. And I think that's what this meeting at the White House is this morning. It's about clarifying some of these points. Now, whether this modified deal apparently that's being worked out between President Trump and the Freedom Caucus will pass muster with the other House members, because what the Freedom Caucus wants, for instance, one of the things they want that's in the American Health Care Act right now is the ability of insurance companies to charge an extra 30% on premiums if somebody lapses on their health insurance.
Right.
A lot of people see that as, well, what's the difference between that and the penalty that was in Obamacare for not having health insurance? And then there's some other things. There's these, instead of a penalty for not having health insurance, subsidies that we saw in Obamacare. What this plan from under the American Health Care Act is tax credits.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Freedom Caucus says there's no difference between a tax credit and a subsidy. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of the big
issues.
What about
the across state lines?
State lines. That's the kind of thing they want out, but it has not been removed from the American Health Care Act as it stands now.
What we were talking about is the way the system is now, you are limited in your state to getting insurance, health insurance, with whatever health care insurance providers are in your state or set up in your state. Mm-hmm. And what's more of the free market approach has been, you should be able to go and get insurance from a company anywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it should not be limited by state rules or regulations.
But now, that was one big promise of President Trump during the election, having to do with the repeal and replace. And you're saying that's not in there?
It's not in there right now.
Now, President Trump, to be fair, he has said that we will come back, circle back around in the coming months.
And put that in there?
Yeah, they're presenting it as there's phases to this. It's not a one time and we're done.
Okay. And here's where you start to lose me, but you go ahead.
I think some of the holdup.
Tracking with you.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Some of the holdup is this reconciliation is not meant to be a big policy change. It's meant to be a budget of which you can tag along some policy changes, such as repealing Obamacare or replacing it with something different. So you start adding in the state line rule and all these different kind of rules. The parliamentarian, which is kind of the rulemaker in the Senate, will say, y'all have moved this from a budget bill to now a big policy bill.
Okay.
And thus, y'all are going to have to go back and fix it.
Those are things, I'm sort of making fun of it, but those are real matters that are procedural.
Procedural, yes.
I think you guys get the idea. With the word I'm trying to use. And so when Speaker Ryan talks about these rules and things of that nature, those are legitimate things that the congressmen and the senators have to deal with. You can't just dismiss it and say, oh, no, you're just making that up.
Right.
But here's the thing. to me, you've got – I hate to see this at this – early juncture of the Trump administration, because he's already done so many great things, I think, and will do so many other wonderful things, namely the judges and the Supreme Court and the federal judiciary. Getting that thing straightened out is a matter of survival for our country, and he's been wonderful on that. The president has, so I hate to see him and his team at odds with guys I greatly respect, and we do here at the Freedom Caucus members,
right?
Who are, these are hardcore patriots, and they care deeply about our country. They want to see the right thing done with this. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I hate to see these two factions at odds, but they are, and they have their reasons, you know, but if President Trump loses today with this vote, it's going to hurt him some, at least some, it seems to me, with his agenda going mm-hmm. forward. It weakens it. It weakens him. Am I making sense
it's
here?
It's momentum.
That's why it's hard to know who's right and who's wrong and
well,
all this
to
me.
Well, it is. And the explanations, you know, one of your favorite expressions, Tim, is that's inside baseball.
Right.
So you watch a baseball program on ESPN. They're talking about things that the average fan are going, I don't care anything about that. I just want to watch the game. And for example, when they're talking about you know, like with the reconciliation process, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, I mean, don't tell me if this is Paul Ryan. Don't tell me that scrapping or changing Obamacare to this extent that you're adding a different name to it and doing that's just you know, budgetary considerations. That's not policy, but when you want to talk about, you know, buying insurance across state lines, that's a policy change. Mm-hmm. And the parliamentarian, I mean, if that's Paul Ryan's explanation, I don't buy that.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not buying that. And you know, but as you said, Tim, I respect. I mean, Paul Ryan is just a brilliant guy.
Right.
I don't believe he's trying to sink the republic, and I'm not. I don't believe he's. You know,
trying
the
to destroy the Trump presidency
trying
and
to
himself.
The Trump, yes, that's
and
right.
And himself, to see if he can sabotage himself.
So, you know, the Freedom Caucus and the Paul Ryan side and the Trump side, I'm mm-hmm. just sitting here going, listen, explain it the best you can. You do what you think is right. And if it's not right, I'm going to remember that next time I vote. Well, what else can I do?
And to your right. point regarding the parliamentarian and the rules, Senator Ted Cruz mm-hmm. and others have said, and they've said it correctly, that the Vice President of the United States has the authority under the rules to overrule the parliamentarian. So they're saying, the conservatives are saying, if we really want to get this right and put everything in there that we want to get in regarding the state line rule and et cetera, the Vice President Pence, can overrule the parliamentarian. And they're saying, this is, if we're going to do that, now's the time.
And just one last thing here on this phasing in explanation. Mm-hmm. Why? Why phase it in? Why can't we? You know, you trying to tell me that Tom Price and some of these others who have been talking about, the Republicans have been talking about repealing outright and replacing Obamacare, you telling me you haven't had this figured out yet?
Right.
You don't have a plan that you can repeal Obamacare and replace it with? What's all this talk with phasing out? What I think is sometimes when they say, well, we've got to do phase two and phase three. No, what you're really saying is we're not really going to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to forget about it in the midst of other things. So I don't want to hear it. I think you should have had your act together, repeal Obamacare, and have your replacement. I don't want to hear about phases.
Have you been listening to Rand Paul tapes?
No, I haven't.
You sound like a parrot.
Do I really?
Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not your accent. He's Kentucky. You're New England. No,
well, that's a great compliment, but I have not been listening to
Senator Paul.
But I have been reading about this.
Essence,
so.
In essence, Senator Paul has been saying what you're saying. He's saying what you're – and I think – I don't know. Has Senator Cruz commented on this, Walker?
No, Senator Cruz is – I think he's playing this smart. He's – it's not in his house. It's not in his chamber yet.
Okay.
So he's saying, why would I fiddle around and criticize from the outside looking in on the house?
Till he gets to my –
Get to my chamber, and then I'll tell you what I think about
it. Okay, I got you.
And I think part of the equation, too, is the optics. For instance, if you don't have the tax credits in there right now, then you're going to have the media out there going to Joe Smith somewhere in Iowa. Yeah. Well, I don't have the tax credits, don't have the subsidies anymore. I don't have insurance for me and my family of five.
Right.
The Republicans want to avoid.
But that's why I'm saying. That they how many times did they vote to repeal and replace?
Yeah.
16 times?
Yes.
So you tell me, what were you doing all that time?
Yeah.
Why didn't you should have had answers for that question. You said, yes, we repealed Obamacare, but, sir, here's what we have to help you out.
Yeah,
exactly. I do think it's a little bit of the dog caught the car here.
That's what it looks like.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
The dog caught the car, now what? You know, it's easy to say repeal and replace – when there's no chance of that actually happening, that when you have the chief author of Obamacare's Obama, and he's right. in the White House. then now you have, oh, we won. Oh, we can repeal and replace it. Well, now it's almost as if they're looking around to each other, going, "Now what do we do?" But now I will say this: they're going to vote today,
yes,
and we're going to find out. It's very close whether this goes
well. Paul Ryan, though, if he doesn't have the numbers, may say we're not going to vote.
We're pulling it.
No, because that'll be embarrassing.
Yeah,
more embarrassing to lose or more embarrassing to pull it?
No, to vote on your own bill, of which you don't even have the votes for.
Yeah. I could see him coming out tonight if he's not sure he has the votes.
We're going to delay it. Tonight.
We want – the negotiations are going well.
We need time.
We need time with the president to bring us all together, and they'll delay it.
This is how the process works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One more other comment about this situation, just from a – just observing this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, why – President Trump and Speaker Ryan are putting their political lives on the line, so to speak. They're staking their reputations on this working, what they're proposing, right? Am I right about that? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Correct. Yeah.
The other option is to say, well, no, Tim, you're wrong. President Trump and Speaker Ryan are trying to bring down the country. And they finally got their chance, and here they are.
Right.
So I don't believe that. I'm being sarcastic.
And I don't believe it either.
You don't believe it either. But now, so I think this is just me now. Please don't throw things at your radio, okay, because you're Tim the compromiser. This is just – I'm just trying to think practically here. President Trump was elected by the American people. Am I right?
That's right.
None of these other people who are criticizing him – ran and won.
And they don't garner huge crowds when they go out somewhere to speak.
So my the way I'm looking at this is I sort of lean toward let President Trump have what he wants. He's the one who's staking his political career capital on this. And if he thinks this is a good idea and how to move this thing forward, and he's not going to let down on the steps 2 and 3 that Walker mentioned earlier, which would make everybody in the Republican Party happy, if it in fact happens that way. That's on him. And you know what I'm saying? And if he's cut off at the knees today, and it maybe they'll go back and draw something up, which is better. And I agree, it could be better. But President Trump is cut off at the knees with a loss.
Well, then it's going to be a GOP civil war.
Okay.
You're going to have Trump tweeting and saying, this guy doesn't need to be sent back to the Senate or to the House because he lied.
Then what happens to the things that we really care about more than even this Obamacare thing? Mm-hmm. It, me is the Supreme Court, the federal courts, pro-life measures, getting the economy where families can, getting the border under control.
Yeah. Yes.
There's so many, to me, bigger things at stake here going down the road that if President Trump is in a civil war with Republicans, it's going to be bad for those issues. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if that means you're a compromiser, I guess I'm a compromiser. But I'm trying to think about this practically and long term. So let's allow for a little grace.
One quick thing is we can't forget that this is the first time ever that we've had a chance to defund Planned Parenthood for a year.
And this
and
does
have it
this.
Signed by the president.
Yes. And this bill does that.
Yes.
This bill does that. So anyway, we love everybody and we respect all parties.
I love everybody.
Except the secular progressives. We do not respect them. At all.
But we love him.
Ed loves everybody. He'll have pizza.
But I don't respect
him. Ed
will
have pizza with anybody.
That's
he doesn't
right.
care. We'll be
body.
Back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.